Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. I'll read verse 1, and you read verse 2 with me. Hebrews chapter 12, and verses 1 through 4. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And let's pray together. Father, thank you again for this time of year. Thank you for today. Thank you, church. Thank you for people. Please help us, Lord, as we look into your word. Bless your word to our hearts. Strengthen us, please. And Father, help us, please, to look to you, please, for your glory and honor. We ask them. You can have a seat there and keep your Bibles open up to Hebrews chapter 12. And as we look at this, this has always been an encouragement to me. The first time I ever saw this passage preached on, the preacher took off his dress shoes, he put on tennis shoes, and he preached the whole message for 40 minutes jogging, saying, "Let's run the race. Let's run the race." I would do that this morning, but I can't. So I am not going to jog through the whole message, but it did leave an impression that I never forgot. As you look at this, let's just go through this, and I want to bring some thoughts to your mind. And the name of the message this morning is, what race are you in? What race are you in? And so watch this. Look at verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." What's he talking about? If you read chapter 11, you've heard of the Hall of Fame. They call Hebrews chapter 11 the Hall of Faith. It starts with, it's going to go through Abraham, and you know, it's going to go all the way back, and the heroes of the Old Testament, and Noah, and Abraham, and how God used him, and how they could trust God, and all through Gideon, Samson, all of them are there in Hebrews chapter 11. And as soon as he finishes with chapter 11, he says, "Seeing we're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." That tells me this: those who've gone before us are encompassing about or circling us and cheer us on to live the Christian life. They did. They're in heaven, and those in heaven can see us. If you have a family member that's saved, somebody in my family said, "I've never heard that before." I got to preach my Grandma Nash's funeral and several years ago, and after the funeral, it was funny. She gave me the outline. She said, "I want this preached at my funeral." So it was one of the few sermons I've never had that outline. I said, "Okay, Grandma said she wanted you all to hear this. She wanted you to hear this." And then I said, "Since she sees what we're doing, I better do it, or she'll get the Lord to strike me." No, I'm just saying. But after the funeral, somebody came up and said, "You really believe people in heaven can see us down here on earth?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And it was a family member, and they said, "Where?" And I took them to Hebrews chapter 12. I said, "The Bible plainly says those who've gone before can see, and they cheer us. They cheer us." If you know those who've successfully lived for the Lord are in heaven cheering you on, doesn't that encourage you to go forward for the Lord? Most people don't think about our heritage, let alone family members. I have grandparents in heaven. I have family. I have, let alone my biblical heritage. Noah's up there. King David's up there. Isaiah is up there. Matthew, the Apostle Paul is up there. And they're all saying, we're encompassed about with so... And that's why it says here, it says, "Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Those who've witnessed before, God says they're cheering you on to be a witness now. You can make it. You can do it. Because then the next part of the verse, watch this, it says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It might help you to know this morning, when you got saved, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior and Him only, you were put in a race. You may not be running, but you're in a race. And everybody that's in the race isn't going to win the race. And the race is not for salvation. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad all you have to do to place is place your faith in Christ to get saved or enter the race? But from now until you die, there's supposed to be an intensity and a focus in your Christian life on what you're doing for God, because we're in a race. We're in a race. I'll say it again. Some aren't running. Some are walking. Some are standing. There are some that are in the race. They're going the wrong way. You could be running along. It's like, Christians don't do that. That's them, right? We're in a race. And it says, isn't it interesting, in verse 1, it says, let us. Aren't you glad God doesn't say, now you run the race? Jesus is saying, I want you to run. Let us run the race. I ran it first. You run it after me. Because in just a verse here, you're going to be told to look to Jesus, who's already completed it and already finished it. Now, there's some thoughts there, but let us. I'm so glad I don't have to live the Christian life alone. There's nothing I have to do for God by myself. God didn't say, okay, I saved you. See when you get to heaven. Hope you make it. And God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And the Christian life is supposed to be a race. You'll notice if you're not in the right race, you're in the rat race of the American dream. Stress, you know, the high blood pressure, all the... You'll notice if you're in the Lord's race and you're running correctly as a Christian, there... You know how I know this? There is no stress living for the Lord. Not if I'm living it with Him, right? If I have a relationship with God and my Bible time is precious and my prayer time and my relationship, go ahead and go to Matthew chapter 11. Watch this. Keep your finger there. We'll come back to Hebrews. I think these verses ought to be marked in every person's Bible. You ought to be able to rely upon these and draw strength from these. We had a lady at one church where we were at, and she was, you know, you'd ask her, hey, you coming to this activity? Are you coming to this? Oh, I'm just so busy, and I've got to do this. And I said, and she goes, oh, I'm just so stressed. Let me read the verse, and then I'll tell you what I told her. And it was nice. It's heavy, but look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That's two times you find the word rest there, right? Okay, it's in verse 28 and verse 29. Look at verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you serve the Lord with the Lord, you never get stressed out. You never burn the candle at both ends. You can be intense. You can be fast moving. But Jesus says, when you serve me properly and you get in my yoke with me, I give you rest, and it's easy, and it's light. And I know some people, oh, I'm just so stressed out. My question is this, what race are you in? If you're in the right race, you don't get stressed. You're not on the verge of an ulcer or a nervous breakdown. In other words, what was happening with her is her kids had these kids, and then they would drop them off at grandma's house, and they would go party, and she said, well, I just got to take care of these kids. And I said, is that something the Lord wants you, so that your kids can keep on partying and having more kids for you to take care of while they party to have more kids? Just circle, just like this. I said, God doesn't lead you with a whip. God doesn't drive you like cattle or sheep. And we have a shepherd that leads us. And He says, if I'm leading you, I give you rest for your soul. There's nothing that stresses you out. That's why it helps me analyze. I know this time of year can be wonderful. It should be. But there are some people, you know, oh, family's coming and the decorations, and then we got to do this, and then all the food that's got to be cooked, and all the gifts have got to be wrapped, and all. And it can be stressful. But I have a belief, if you'll do it right, I think you can enjoy this time of year if you're in the right race. If you're focusing on the Lord and what He wants you. But the world does it in such a backwards way. I hope those verses mean a lot to you. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Watch this. Jesus says here this morning, let us lay aside every weight. I want to take two words and think about it just for a second. Okay, if you were going to run a race, and I ran track in high school, I didn't compete, okay? I ran track for Jim, okay? And we would do cross country, and then we would do, you know, all the, you know, the, I can't even remember the numbers now, you know, the one track arounds, a mile or whatever, and then the batons. We did all that. I didn't compete, but I had a good running coach, and he would teach on running. Well, if you're going to run in a race, and you know, it's referring to the Olympic Games of the Greeks, okay, they're back in the Bible times. And if you were a runner, now the Greeks stripped down, and I don't think you need to do that, okay? But the concept was there. You don't take something on a run that's extra weight to carry. Because what? It does what? Slows you down. Well, if you're in a race for the Lord, and God puts you in a race and he says it's time to run, then what are the things that weigh you down as a Christian that keep you from doing what you're supposed to? As I think about my Christian life, I'm supposed to think, here's where it all falls in. And it's not sin, because sin's the next word. And the sin, God said, the first thing I want you to think about is what weights do you have in your life that keep you from doing what God wants you to do? You're already saved. If you placed your faith in Christ, great. Saved eternally. Glory to God. But what do you have that pulls you down? And if we've ever lived in an age of distraction, it's now. Social media and the digital and phones, computers and all that stuff. Somebody said, well, I just don't have time to read my Bible. I'm going to make a strong statement. Everybody in here has time to read your Bible. Everybody. Cut the TV out of your life. I promise you, you have enough time to study your Bible. It's not an issue of time. It's always weights are priorities. Because in America, we're free to do whatever we want to do, and most people do whatever they want to do. And you know what you did yesterday? What you wanted to, right? Well, no, I didn't have time. I would have prayed and I would have read my Bible, but I didn't have time. I'm going to say it again. You did what you wanted to, and you always have time to do what you wanted. That's why if you know you're in a race, and watch this, things that you did that aren't sin, not sin, we'll get into that here in just a second. Things you chose to do instead of what God has saved you. In other words, I didn't run. I kind of stood in place, or I walked for a little bit because I had weights on. So when we analyze our life, we're supposed to say, if God's the top priority in my life, then my priorities should show that, right? And God tells us if a man won't provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. I need to go to work. But if you have a job that's working you 20 hours a day, I suggest you get a different job. In other words, is that how many hours you want to work? Well, then why don't you ask the Lord for a job where you could go to church also? Amen? I've prayed that prayer. And I've watched God answer that prayer over and over again. All I'm telling you is, if you're in a race and you're in the right race, there's things I can't do because it'll slow me down, not because it's sinful. You understand? Well, hey, can you do this or this? My time won't allow me. It's not that it's sinful or that's evil or wicked. It's just I can't do that because if I do that, it takes my time to do this. Christian, it's all weights are priorities, and in America, we're so distracted with everything. I mean, have you ever noticed? You notice how intense the commercials get right now? Buy this, do this, last sale, quick, hurry up, while time lasts, while supplies last, get it now. Ah! And they want you on edge. The distraction is so full. If you're going to lay aside the weight, look how God words it. God tells us, let us lay aside every weight. All you need to do is ask yourself the question, what's in my life? Look, you can start with the simplest activity in the Christian life is coming to church. If you're not involved in the program, right? If you're not preaching or leading singing, all you have to do is show up and sit down, right? So I would say going to church is the simplest command to fill in the Bible, right? After you get saved. Now, prayer involves work, right? Reading your Bible is going to take effort, right? You're going to have to put forth. Why don't you just start? Then let's start at ground zero. What is it that keeps me out of church? What priorities? And I need to lay those weights aside so that I can run and be intense. Because I got things that are slowing down. Here we go. Let's move up. Ready? What is it that keeps you from reading your Bible? I can't read my Bible at night. If you can, God bless you. My best time to read the Bible, I need to start my day in the morning. Well, if I did that, I'd have to get up at 5. I remember in the Marine Corps, I got up at 3:30. Because early chow was 5, and for me to get cleaned up, And I had my Bible time and my prayer time. And then when I went to Bible college, praise the Lord, I'm glad I got to finally back it off to about 5:30. Amen. But I'm just saying, whatever time you have to be at work, whatever time it takes to get to work, whatever takes time to get ready, and then you back it up. I need this much Bible reading time, and I need this much prayer time. Then that's when you get up in the morning. I'm watching a generation of people get up, get out of bed, and go right in time to get to work. And I've never seen anything more destructive and foolish in my life. All that could happen in the morning. Well, I'm late. Traffic. You didn't know there were going to be more cars on the road. You didn't know sometimes they get in a wreck and they have to call a wrecker and you're just stuck there for a half. You didn't know that? I'm watching. Have you seen the younger generation? Well, I get up just in time to flip the covers, put my shoes on, and head out the door. A successful Christian cannot live that way. Do you understand? They cannot live that way. And all I'm trying to get you this morning is examine your weights. What is pulling you? And God tells us, examine your life and say, there's some weights. They're not sinful. I just need to get rid of them. I don't stay up on Saturday night. If I stayed up till 1 or 2, ask some of the kids that we picked up this morning. When did you go to bed last night?
2 o'clock.
Yeah, I'd be sleeping in Sunday school too. And I'm the teacher if I stayed up till 2. I go to bed early Saturday night so I can enjoy Sunday. I don't party. I'm not going to any activity. Does everybody understand? If church is a priority, then you don't allow things to interfere with it. I don't stay up all night. I don't do that. Okay, so we examine the term weight. You say, why? Because I'm in a race. I have to run. Everybody is until you get to heaven. Watch this. Look at the next verse. And the sin which it doth so easily beset us. Second word, now we're talking about sin. Before we were talking about priorities, things that necessarily weren't wrong, but they were in the wrong spot. Now we're talking about sin. And it says, it just doesn't say any sin. It says the sin that doth so easily beset us. Everybody in here, myself included, has a sin that is besetting to you or something you're more prone to do than other things. Everybody has it. It's different with everybody. For some, it might be they need to really work at controlling their anger. For some, they might really need to control their greed. For some, they might need to... But there is a besetting sin that God says, you need to analyze your Christian life on how come you don't have victory in certain areas. How long has it been since you've had victory over cussing? How long has it been since you've had victory over bitterness? Over victory in your life over sin? And when you don't have it, God says, okay, analyze your life so you can run the race that I saved you to run and lay aside the sin. You can't do that if you don't get negative with yourself. Well, just stay positive and just, look, my flesh is wicked. It's wicked. I have victory in my life when I yield to the Lord and I do what He wants me to do. I suffer defeat when I run the show. And when I want to kick Jesus off the throne and say, it's my life, it's my way, I want you do that. That's my flesh. Let us lay aside the sin that does so easily. It talks about every Christian, you know, I'm doing this because the year can kind of overtax everybody this time of year. And this is really a sermon to try to help you not get in the rat race. I want you to stay in the race. But I've watched Christians go on vacation, get out of routine, and come back and never get back in routine. I'm not saying that if you go on vacation, I think vacations are good, okay? I think the Lord teaches you to get away. But if you aren't careful, the casualness and the just living life turns you into a casualty, right? Because you never get intense about anything. You never get focused. Let us lay aside the weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Watch this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians, keep your finger there. We'll look at two scripture here real close together, and I hope they encourage you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and look at verse 24. This isn't the only time in the Bible God says, when you get saved, you entered a race. And it's interesting. I'll point something out to you. Watch this. Verse 24, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. It says here, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Everybody's supposed to be running, right? You get that picture from the verse? God says, everybody's supposed to. You can't sprint a marathon. Right? But there is a pace in running that you're supposed to find that fits you and then maintain it with the steps and the breathing. And if you know anything about running, as far as then you pick that pace and you stick with that pace. That's why if I teach you about budget and schedule, it helps your Christian life, because life is a rhythm, right? Just like a run. I don't break rhythm when I run. Same thing with life. Everybody's supposed to be running it. We're all running. Here's the truth of the verse. When we get to heaven, everybody's not getting first. You're not getting a participation prize like snowflakes, right? Be a good little snowflake and just for part. There's going to be one person in heaven that lived the Christian life the holiest. And we'll find out when we get there. But everybody isn't winning. Isn't that what it says? One gets the prize. One. So what's that tell me? Listen closely. If I'm not careful, I'll turn church into a competition where I'm trying to be better than you and I'm trying to be. That's not what it says. You get a reward in heaven. God rewards you based on what you could have done and what you did do. That's different. There are some people that will never sprint, but it took twice the work for them to run at the pace they ran than it did the person that can easily sprint. Does that make sense? God rewards you your labor, and God sees how hard you try. That's what God rewards. God doesn't reward you because you're better than somebody else, right? I'm not supposed to be in competition. I'm supposed to encourage you. Hey, you're in a race. Run. They're watching. We can do this. Keep on going for the Lord. Have a hardship. Have a financial reversal. Have a job loss. Have a loss of a loved one. Hey, we can still keep on going. Let's keep on running. Keep our eyes on the prize. All of us. But we're not in competition with each other, right? Watch what happens in the next verses. You're in 1 Corinthians 9. Watch. And every man, verse 25, that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. See the word temperate there? Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. You know what the battle of the Christian life is? That's why we talked about weights this morning. And that's why it's frustrating, because it's your ability to control yourself. That's what temperance means, right? Self-control. Can you make yourself read your Bible when it's time to read your Bible? Or are you going to let something else pull you away? How temperate or how controlled are you in charge of yourself, possessing your vessel? Every man that strives, that's in the race, has got to make some choices, right? And that's why it gets frustrating. Because in America, we don't like anybody messing with our lifestyle. Well, when you got saved, you entered a race, and Jesus wants to affect your lifestyle, and Jesus wants to make you like Him, and Jesus wants to help you. But if you don't let Him, because you're going to do what you want to do, and you're going to do it your way, and that's your life, and nobody tells you what to do, then you struggle to that degree, right? Everybody see the word temperate there? That's the whole, I learn in the Christian life. You want a clean mind? You're going to have to work at cleaning up your mind. God's not going to clean it up for you. You want to clean up your mouth? You're going to have to stop cussing. You can ask the Lord to help you, and He will, but He doesn't clean it up for you. It's your self-control. Everybody understand? You're in the race. How fast do you want to run? What's the pace you want to set? Then set it and maintain it. You know, when I run, and I'm not running yet, I'm walking right now. Glory to God. I am walking. But when I run, the battle is when I start, I know how far I'm going. It's to not stop, right? Because for the rest of the journey, trust me, I want to stop, okay? I want to stop. But I'm pushing. A good athlete has to push themselves, right? What do you see how God is saying Christianity and running requires the same push? And if you do what comes naturally all the time and what you want to do, you'll always be a failure. You'll never succeed in life. That's strong preaching, but look at verse 25. Now look at verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. The beateth the air is a shadow boxer. Okay, he said, I'm not in a shadow box. I don't have an imaginable an imaginary enemy. I have a real person that's trying to stop me. I have the devil, and I'm in a real fight. He said, there's nothing. He said, I'm not shadow boxing. I'm in a life and death fight to keep on going. And it takes my determination. Look at the last part of the verse 27. But I keep under my body There's the self-control again. I'm supposed to tell my body what to do. My body is not supposed to tell me what to do. I am supposed to be in control. He said, I keep under my body. He said, I keep it in control. Self-control for the Christian life, right? Look at the next verse. Let's keep on reading. And bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I gave an illustration a couple of weeks ago, but I said, Paul's greatest fear was his self. He says, if I don't control me, I'll be somebody that used to preach, but doesn't anymore. I'll be somebody that used to go to church, but I don't. And he said, Paul said, my biggest problem is not the devil. My biggest problem is me and me pushing myself and me staying on me and me riding me to do the right thing and never letting up. He said, that is how I live the Christian life. I'm hard on me. Christian, here, go to Philippians. Go to Philippians and same principle. And we're just talking about a race this morning. Philippians, and look at verse number 13 and verse 14 is what I want you to see. Philippians chapter 3, and look at verse 13. Ready? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He said, I've got my failures. He said, I cannot keep reliving my failures in the Christian life every day. I have to forget what is behind me. And then look at verse 14. It ought to be marked in your Bible. It says here, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, I press, interesting word, I pressure myself to reach the prize. Another reference to the race, right? He said, I'm trying to win, and I'm just trying to push me as hard as I can. And when you stop pushing you in the Christian life, you stop growing as a Christian. It's your ability to control you and push you. That yoke is easy. Do you know why? It's interesting. The yoke is easy and the burden is light, and he gives rest to your soul when you control you enough to follow Jesus. But if your self-control... That's how come it's so hard to teach the next generation. You can't teach without discipline. And when they can't, ever hear of tardy officers and truancy officers? What did truancy officers do? They went by and you've missed so much school, they don't even do that anymore. Because kids don't show up. They don't know how to get up. If you don't have enough control of yourself to get out of bed when you're supposed to, how can you live for the Lord when you're out of bed? I'll answer the question for you. You don't. I stay under my body. I'm pressing toward the mark. Now go back to Hebrews chapter 12. This morning, I wanted to look at, you know, it's amazing. We haven't even made it out of verse 1 yet. But if you took this home and think and thought about it yourself, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There's a race that God has planned for you to run. You don't have to run that race to be saved. I'm glad. And I find a lot of Christians are running a different race. But there's a race that God sets before you when you get saved. There's things you're supposed to do as a Christian if you want to enjoy being saved. I'm so glad. Once you're saved, you're always saved, right? But if you want to be a happy Christian, you're in a race. And there's some weights you need to lay aside. Let me just encourage you one more thing. Go to first, you know, we were in 1 Corinthians 9. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. And I hope this helps you. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We were in 1 Corinthians 9. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. And look at verse 13. And I hope you take this home and look at it and think about it. You know, when we say, though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I... That's easy preaching, hard living. But if I was the only one in church, I'm still supposed to... You say that because you're the pastor, because I'm a... If nobody went, I'm not... I'm supposed to... God... Amen? Like I said, it's fun when we get to be together. Amen? We encourage each other with the smiles and the handshakes. I like being together. But what would happen if I was the only person here? I'm still so do right, though no one joins. And I know that that's fine until the rubber meets the road. I hope I stay true. Amen. But I'm not going to tell you I haven't played that in my mind. If nobody else came, would you still come? Well, no, I'm here for them and for them and for that. And I like it. You're supposed to be here for them, right? You're supposed to be here because God, if he saved you, then he can call the shots, right? Look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. Laying aside the weight and the sin, because we're in a race. Verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Christian, I'd just like to tell you this morning, if you would like to run the race, you can. Millions have run it before you. And the only reason you're not running is because you don't want to. Until you quit blaming other people or circumstances, you don't run. Because it's always somebody else's fault, right? Well, I would, but. And then you got a, what do they call that? But, a billy goat Christianity? It's always butting something? You know what I mean? Humor, okay? What a verse in your Bible. There is nothing you will face right now or tomorrow or last year or until Jesus comes that is not common that everybody else has not faced. It may have different players, but it's the same playing field. Same rules, just different names. Everything I'll face, I can, watch this. There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. I'm so glad, because I'm not. That's the first thing you learn when you read your Bible. Didn't we just sing, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father, right? We just sang about it. He's always faithful. He never fails me. I'm not faithful. I'm learning how to be faithful. I'm learning, but I still fail him. And yet he never throws me in the trash. Aren't you glad? God is faithful. And then, look at the next verse, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Anything you're facing, anything you use as an excuse on why you can't run, God would not allow it in your life if it overpower you. What a verse. This morning, I'd like, the name of the sermon is, are you in the right race? Because as I know our church, I don't think there's any lazy, okay? I know a lot of good, hardworking people, men and women, amen? But if you aren't careful, you'll get in the wrong race. And it will wear you out and run you ragged. And when the world's done with you running that race, they throw you in the trash. Jesus doesn't do that. And there's nothing facing. God will not let you be tempted. There's no weight you can't lay aside. And there's no sin you cannot lay aside. God wouldn't let it in your life if it were wonderful. What a God. That lets me know, Lord, all I need to do is decide I'm going to run the race. Let's finish the verse. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation, isn't this wonderful, also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. That's why when you talk about weights and priorities, yeah, Jesus wants to rearrange your life. He wants to be first. Jesus wants you striving to be like him. That's Christian, like Christ, a reminder of Jesus. I have parts of me that don't remind you of Jesus that I'm supposed to get rid of through time, right? Well, God does accept me as I am, but he expects me to change. Amen? If he saved me, Christian, this morning, I wanted to look at Hebrews 12. We're in a race. Are you in the right race? I could have asked this question. Are you even running? Or are you standing still, or are you running the opposite direction? Man, I'm out of here. I've seen some spaz. And then you find the rest of the encouragement of the Bible is for those, when you read Hebrews 12, lest some of you be wearied in your mind and faint. You know how come they faint? Because they get tired of falling, and they get tired of picking themselves up and dusting themselves off, telling God you're sorry, being on going. They get tired of that. I want to close with this morning. This has been an encouragement to me for many years, and just want you to listen, and then we'll close, okay? This is called The Race. Quit. Give up. You're beaten, they shouted at me and plead. There's just too much against you now. This time you can't succeed. And as I start to hang my head in front of failure's face, my downward fall is broken by the memory of the race. And hope refills my weakened will as I recall that scene. For just the thought of that short race rejuvenates my being. A child's race. Young boys, young men. How well I remember. Excitement, sure, but also fear. It wasn't hard to tell. They all lined up so full of hope, each thought to win that race. Or tie for first, or if not that, at least take second place. And fathers watched from off the side, each cheering for his son. And each boy hoped to show his dad that he would be the one. The whistle blew and off they went, young hearts and hopes afire. To win and be the hero there was each young boy's desire. And one boy in particular, whose dad was in the crowd, was running near the lead and thought, "My dad will be so proud." But as he speeded down the field across a shallow dip, the little boy who thought to win lost his step and slipped. Trying hard to catch himself, his hands flew out to brace, and mid the laughter of the crowd, he fell flat on his face. So down he went with him, hope. He couldn't win it now. Embarrassed, sad, he only wished to disappear somehow. But as he fell, his dad stood up and showed his anxious face, which to the boy so clearly said, "Get up and win the race." He quickly rose, no damage done, behind a bit, and that's all. And ran with all his mind and might to make up for his fall, so anxious to restore himself, to catch up and to win. His mind went faster than his legs. He slipped and fell again. He wished then he had quit before with only one disgrace. "I'm hopeless as a runner now. I shouldn't try to race." But in the laughing crowd, he searched and found his father's face, that steady look which said again, "Get up and win the race." So he jumped up to try again, 10 yards behind the last. "If I'm going to gain those yards," he thought, "I've got to move real fast." Exerting everything he had, he gained 8 or 10, but trying so hard to catch the lead, he slipped and fell again. Feet, he lied there silently. A tear dropped from his eye. "There's no sense in running anymore. 3 strikes, I'm out. Why try?" The will to rise had disappeared. All hope had fled away. So far behind, so error-prone, a loser all the way. "I've lost, so what's the use?" he thought. "I'll live with my disgrace." But then he thought about his dad, who soon he'd have to face. "Get up," an echo sounded low. "Get up and take your place. You were not meant for failure here. Get up and win the race. With borrowed will, get up," it said. "You haven't lost at all. For winning is no more than this, to rise each time you fall." So up he rose to run once more, and with a new commit, he resolved that win or lose, at least he wouldn't quit. So far behind the others now, the most he'd ever been. Still, he gave it all he had and ran as if to win. 3 times he'd fallen, stumbling. 3 times he rose again, too far behind to hope to win. He still ran to the end. They cheered the winning runner, and he crossed the line first place, head high and proud and happy, no falling, no disgrace. But when the fallen youngster crossed the last line place, the crowd gave him the greater cheer for finishing the race. And even though he came in last with head bowed low, unproud, you would have thought he's won the race to listen to the crowd. And to his dad, he sadly said, "I didn't do too well." "To me, you won," his father said. "You rose each time you fell. And when things seem dark and hard and difficult to face, the memory of that little boy helps me in my race. For all of life is like that race, with ups and downs and all. And all you have to do to win is rise each time you fall. Quit! Get up! You're beaten!" they still shout in my face. But another voice within me says, "In the race." That's always been a help to me, because you're not going to run in a race normally without. You can ask the runner. Christian, this morning, just wanted to ask you a question. Are you running in the right race? Are you? I hope this encouragement and help to you. Let's pray. Father, please use this truth this morning. Please, Lord, the reminder.